This is the Hammond Regional Arts Center podcast. I'm Melissa Griffin, Executive Director here at the Arts Center. In this podcast, we discuss how art and life blend. Today, I'm talking with restaurateur Jonathan Wong about wellness, motivation, and work-life balance. For some, balance is a work of art. They seem to glide through their busy lives with poise and grace. And for others of us, the struggle is real. Hi, Jonathan. Thanks so much for being here with me to talk today. How are you?
I'm doing great. Thanks, Melissa.
Great. I appreciate you coming and talking to us about work-life balance and motivation. You are the co-owner of two area restaurants, Kate Street Seafood Station in Hammond, the Boston restaurant and They Meet. You're a husband, a father, as well as being heavily involved in multiple charitable organizations. You were named Southeastern Louisiana University's 2020 Young Alumnus of the Year. Congratulations on that.
Thank you.
You lead free community workouts called FitFam. And I say all of this, and these are just the highlights, to illustrate that you're a pretty busy guy. So what is your secret? What's your philosophy behind achieving work-life balance?
The first thing is to lead with purpose. And for me, it's to focus on where you are. So if I'm at work, I'm going to lead with purpose. And what that means for me is to help others, for a mechanic, for a bank teller, for a nurse practitioner. It's all going to be the same, but it's easy to get caught up in something that we're chasing instead of being present. So if I always lead with purpose, then over time I fall into multiple passions. So that's part of the secret or philosophy is being present and leading with purpose.
Absolutely. So do you follow the know your why principle?
I do. I try not to talk about it too much because it's a complex exercise. And the only one I know is from Simon Sinek with the Golden Circle.
Right.
I love it. It's fantastic.
I love Simon Sinek. I follow him on social media. But I always apply the know your why to work situations. I hadn't really thought about it in terms of my personal life before. So do you apply that to all aspects of your life?
Yes. Everywhere, no matter if it's work, at home, FitFam. There's actually another group that was started in COVID, Crew of Five. It's a men's group. It's currently private.
Nice.
Whether it's working with the Chamber or Southeastern, it's all doing the same thing.
And there's a purpose
right.
for it.
Bruce Lee says, it's like a finger pointing in the sky. Don't concentrate on the finger or you'll lose all of heaven's glory.
Mm-hmm.
So what that means for me is sometimes we're looking so far out into the future, looking at a passion or some kind of career, that we lose sight of purpose. And we lose sight of purpose, we lose sight of everything. So
Absolutely.
It's just focusing on the present. But how do you create the best present reality because life is moving so fast, and that's where it just takes time. Maybe today's an off week, or when noticing it's an off week, it's like, okay, where's the problem? Well, that's where we have the five Fs, me and my buddies, family, fitness, faith, friends, finance. A bonus one would be fun, which is nurturing your hobby. And then how do you plan that out? Well, my wife and I, we plan that out every Sunday. We use Pareto principle, where that's 80% of your success comes from 20% of what you do. So we'll take, say, 20% of that week, plan out accordingly, make sure we have balanced time and work, fitness, reading, some me time, spending time with friends. And then maybe I leave something out 1 week. Well, then we slowly fix it over time.
Sure.
And that way, when we spend that 20% of time planning, that other 80%, we're doing 100% of exactly what we want to do.
Absolutely. It's great that you partner together on that as well. As a unit and you've planned out your week, you kind of have your goals in mind and you know where you're moving toward. And, you know, some of us are flying by the seat of our pants and kind of aren't doing things as intentionally as that. But that's a wonderful way to have a little structure, but also be able to achieve your goals and to have some fun with it and make sure that you're planning time for the fun. Because we often take our obligations and prioritize the work, the to-do list, and sometimes we forget the self-care part, the fun, the things that nurture our soul and our mind, you know, whether it's hobbies or spending time with friends and family.
There was a question that was surfacing in our workspace over 5 years ago, and it was that common thing that people say, that there's not enough time in the day.
Mm-hmm.
So we were talking, and I was asking the other managers, what is the answer to that? How do we challenge that notion? And it was to make and create better habits and to create a system.
Sure.
And that the system that we are at right now is through the five F's, through planning with the passion planner.
So this is the philosophy that you use at home and at work?
Yes, because it's easy to separate work and life, but then they do go hand in hand.
Mm-hmm.
And if you can manage outside of work, it's easier to manage inside of work.
Right.
There's a quote that I love, going back to motivation towards fitness. And with COVID, we've slowed down. The body slowed down, the mind slowed down, motivation slows down.
It does.
And often we're looking for motivation, but I've found that action precedes motivation. There's mm-hmm. a quote from Denise Chandra, and she says, "We don't sing because we're happy. We're happy because we sing."
Absolutely.
So you take one of those things from the five F's, and it can be overwhelming. And we can't do everything, but everybody can do something.
Right.
So my answer would be to commit to a plan. If it's fitness, have a start end date.
Mm-hmm.
Know your frequency. Know how many times a week. Know your duration for how long. At what time of the day you're going to do this. Know your place. Have an accountability partner.
Sure.
To say, no, Jonathan, you're slacking. You need to go. And then make it fun. Have a little reward at the end. The way I did this was back in 2016, and I asked my wife, hey, what do I need to do? What do I need to improve on? And she said, health. I took it literally, and I focused on fitness. I set a goal for 1 month to work out 3 times a week, and I said, when you finish, Jonathan, you're going to buy yourself a bicycle.
Like a motorbike or like a... Like a bicycle.
Like a riding bicycle.
Okay, great.
So I crushed it, ended up not buying a bicycle, and we'll talk about FitFam later, invited a few more friends, and that's actually how that got started.
Oh, that's interesting. Yeah. That's very cool. So I, you know, in talking about motivation, I recently heard Dr. Christine Carter, who's a sociologist, on a TED Talk say that achievement depends on our willingness to be bad at stuff. And she says that the goal is repetition and not necessarily achievement. In other words, like leave your lofty goals behind and do something that is easy to stick to. So she gave this example, which was kind of comical, where she wanted to run a marathon and she started out with lofty goals and quit within a couple of weeks. And so then she began to just to run 1 minute a day. She's like, I would get dressed, I would, you know, do the whole thing, go out and run 1 minute and go back home. Go out and run 1 minute every day until it finally felt natural for her to just keep running. And so she said, whenever the motivation just wasn't there, I would make myself run that 1 minute. And she's like, most of the time I would just keep running because it felt so natural to just keep running. So that, I thought that was kind of interesting where she said, you know, it's okay to be bad at it. It's okay to not reach your goals right away. It's okay to like make it a, you know, a marathon and not a sprint to get to certain goals. And what you're talking about in 2016 when you decided to change or, you know, to make a goal toward your health, it's really a lifestyle change, right? It's not just a diet. It's not just a, I'm going to do this right now, but I'm going to create something that I can sustain. And that was really kind of her input on that. And I thought that was kind of funny the way that she said it, because nobody thinks I'm going to run 1 minute.
No, that's neat. I've never heard that.
Yeah. And she even said, if you're trying to change your diet, maybe add a piece of lettuce to your cheeseburger today, you know, and she's just, it's a comical, funny way to kind of give yourself some space to fail even, you know, but to know that you're continuously working towards something, working toward that goal, because I think failure really kind of can set people back sometimes in such a way that they feel immobilized almost.
It takes a while to get comfortable laughing at yourself.
It does.
But when you do, it's a beautiful thing.
Absolutely. You know, we work a lot with artists here at the Hammond Regional Arts Center. And so sometimes people are encouraged and want to take classes and want to try new things, artists and non-artists. And sometimes I can tell people are hesitant because what if I'm bad at it is like the first thing that they think. I don't want to embarrass myself, things like that. But I think if as a society we were more comfortable with the idea of just trying something, even if we were terrible at it, we'd all do a lot more. You know, we'd experience a lot more in life than we have been. So
there was something I was introduced to a while back, and it's a saying that says we attract what we're ready for.
Really?
So it's kind of fun. Yeah. You go through your day, and then if you mess up something, it's like, oh man, okay, well, that just happened, and I couldn't have possibly had a better scenario. Mm-hmm. But then this is the lesson that I learned, and then moving forward, it's like, okay. No, I'm better. I'm good. Clear
right.
mind, direction.
Yeah, you're right. Being willing to learn from your mistakes is huge. It's huge in your personal life as well as your business, you know, as well as your work life. And being okay with that is big as well. You know, we feel defeated. I do. I feel defeated sometimes when haven't reached a goal, especially one for work, and I take it home with me. And that's kind of where this work-life balance stuff comes into play, where I'm feeling the stress at work. I go home, and I'm still feeling that stress. I'm still mulling over, I didn't achieve that goal. You know, how could I have done it better? And all the while, I'm squandering the time I should be spending with my family. So you have a lot of irons in the fire. Does that happen to you, where you take your work life home?
No, I've been doing journaling since 2019. I didn't know what it was before, but I got introduced to this new style of journaling called the 5-minute journal, where in the morning you do three things that you're grateful for, three things that would make today great, and then your affirmation. Mm-hmm. So every day I wake up and I'll state three things that would make today great. I don't always knock out all three of those.
Sure.
But then at the end of the day, that's the part where reflection comes, and you say three things that happened and one thing that could have gone better. And mm-hmm. that reflection provides direction. So there's a little bit of ease that's provided each day just through journaling, because I'm going to say what I'm going to do, and either I do it or I don't.
Right.
And then at the end of the day, I'm not going to be my harshest critic, but I'm going to be honest with myself.
Sure. That's great. That's really interesting. I have noticed as well that journaling sometimes just lets you empty your mind, just empty your thoughts and put it on the paper, even if it's a bunch of gibberish. You know, I'm thinking about these things, and then they're on the paper, and you can kind of leave them be and walk away from it. So with what you're talking about, there's more structure to that and more, you know, there's a purpose to it. But I think both would be very helpful to some who are struggling with taking their stress home with them, or taking their home stress to work with them. That's another problem on the flip side. So you mentioned the stay-at-home order last year. I wanted to know, how did that impact the pace of your life? Like we said before, you got a lot going on. Did you slow down, or did you just find different ways of accomplishing all your goals? What did you learn from COVID and the stay-at-home order? What did you learn from that experience?
We slowed down a good bit, and I don't want to speak on everybody's experience. That was an interesting time. Two things that stand out. We were innovative. We had to be. We introduced a couple of things at the restaurant because we had to close dine-in, curbside, and we're also doing online ordering. And I've thought about this for a long time, and I talked on it earlier, how physically we're moving because there's less foot traffic and the mind is moving slower. Mm-hmm. And then there's a lack of hope, a little bit of fear and anxiety. And then where's the motivation? But then motivation is sometimes just a little bit of action. But then, like your friend that you had mentioned before, where it's repetition.
Mm-hmm.
And that has been the most challenging thing, just working together with people in this very strange and uncomfortable environment. And everybody's a little bit different. So you and I might have these certain coping mechanisms, but when you're in a group with 40 people on a Saturday night in a workspace, it's been challenging.
Sure.
But honestly, even coming out of meeting today, I'm very proud of our team and where we are and who we have. And there's a large amount of people who are taking those steps to further their self and to further the team.
That's wonderful.
And it feels great. Having family and friends in close proximity, I'm lucky, blessed to have great friends and family in this area. And I've learned to lean more into vulnerability at this time, because if the opposite is just to keep to myself, and that's a pretty terrible thing. And then leaning into vulnerability leads to humility, because when I'm open, then I can learn something from somebody that I respect.
Sure.
That was one thing that occurred over and over during COVID. Another thing was just learning to be comfortable with the convenience of distraction. And I'm talking about the cell phone.
Right.
That thing is there, and it's just always there for you. And what I found was that I couldn't go from the living room to the kitchen or from the kitchen to outside without grabbing that thing and bringing it with me.
Yes.
Or if I needed to look up something, Safari's there.
Mm-hmm.
So there are a couple habits that I had to unlearn, which is not going to Safari immediately or Google to look up something,
mm-hmm.
because that was always taking my attention from the present moment. And then also social media. So those things are, for the most part, gone, at least on the cell phone. But I feel like I am missing a part of everything that's going on.
Right.
And I kind of miss that. And people will say, hey, did you see this? Oh, no, I didn't. I apologize.
Right.
I didn't see that.
Yeah, there's a certain level that I get to, and then I stop. And my mom says all the time, well, don't you know about such and such? And I'll be like, I have no idea what you're talking about. And it's just because I don't engage a lot of times in the news. I get like the weather and the absolute headlines, and then I move on. I don't spend a lot of time watching the news. And so she's like, well, how do you not know about? And I'm like, I don't know. I just don't. If I need to know it, it'll be in the headlines, is how I feel about it. But the same goes for Facebook, you know, or social media in general. Do we really need all of that content in our minds? Do we really need to be filling ourselves with all of that? What's happening with Joe Smith and Jane Doe and, you know, their kids and everything else? And it really is a huge distraction to what's actually happening in front of you or around you. But what's tough is breaking that habit. It's tough not to wake up and before your feet hit the floor, check your emails and your Facebook feed and, you know, some of that stuff. And they do this on purpose. Some of it's so gratifying with that little red dot with the number that says you have this many new updates in Facebook. It's so gratifying sometimes. But, you know, knowing that that's really meaningless compared to what's happening in front of you, I think is just the mindset that you need to just turn that off, I hope.
One of the things that I love is the golden hour of the day, the first hour, not going to email, social media, anything digital, and protecting that time,
mm-hmm.
keeping it for yourself. And one of the things I've been practicing recently is a rep. So doing a rep every morning, which is reading for 15 minutes, exercise in the form of light yoga and stretching, and then planning through the 5-minute journal, doing a little gratitude,
sure.
visualization, and affirmation. And what was really cool this morning, I woke up at 5:55 a.m., went and got my son up, and he said, what time is it? 5:55 a.m. He said, perfect. So we walked over to the living room. He went to turn on the TV. After a few seconds, he turned it off, and he said, I want to do something different. And he just laid there.
Really?
So I don't know what happened, but somehow this morning, he was protecting his own time, and we got to spend time together on the couch just in stillness. We ended up turning on a little classical music, and it was really nice.
Absolutely. How old is he?
He's 6.
Oh, wow. He's young and learning quickly. That's great.
Yeah,
awesome.
I went to a Jesuit retreat in 19, and it was all about, from the Jesuits, it's about seeing God in all things. And I'm on my faith journey.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a lot of fun just learning from different people.
Absolutely.
But this morning was an example of that.
Yeah, absolutely. That is such a good time to be able to spend. You know, I have a young son. He's 4, and when we get to wake up and sit on the couch and snuggling is his favorite thing. So when we get to do that first thing in the morning, it changes the outcome of the day. And you know, we've spent that quality time together. It's so important to touch, of course, for our bodies and our mental health. So we've touched, we've talked, we've discussed. us? Did he have any dreams? What's he want to do today? Just that whole setup of your day, you know, a little quiet time. We forget that the TV is so noisy and it's got so many flashes and it's so distracting to everything else. Turning on the TV, looking at the phone first thing in the morning, you know, there are healthier things that you could be doing. Having a nice breakfast for one, just together sitting down at breakfast, which is, you know, something people probably don't do as often anymore. You got Pop-Tarts and waffles and things you can pop in the toaster and head out for your day, right? So you're right. That golden hour really is golden if you take advantage of it. Absolutely. So do you wake up that early every day, 5:55? Is that what time your family starts getting up?
Yes. It was 6, but then 6 was pushing the day back just a little bit too much. So that 5 minutes right before added enough time to use the restroom, brush your teeth, and then mm-hmm. start a morning routine that lasted 20 to 30 minutes. Because mm-hmm. he was waking up at 6:30. Now he's waking up at 6:20 just to have a little bit more just leniency in the morning to not feel so rushed.
Sure. That morning time when you have kids can be rushed and everybody feels stressed. And we did this today, in fact. Come on, you got 2 minutes. We're supposed to be there in 2 minutes. Hurry up and eat. But I'm hungry. You know, it was just one of those days where the morning just got away from us. And that might be because my husband was home this morning. Usually when we wake up, he's already gone. So we got some extra snuggle time with Daddy. So maybe it was more important for us to spend a little extra time. This is the Hammond Regional Arts Center podcast. We'll be right back in 30 seconds.
Got an idea for a podcast of your own? If you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. First of all, it's free. There are creation tools that allow you to record or edit your podcast right from your phone or computer. Anchor will distribute your podcast for you so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and many more. You can make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership. It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place, and they do the hard work for you. Got an idea for a podcast? Download the free Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started.
This is the Hammond Regional Arts Center podcast. I'm Melissa Griffin, and we're talking today to Jonathan Wong about wellness, motivation, and work-life balance. So tell us a little bit about FitFam. I'm curious how that works, what it's all about, how do you join, what's the deal with FitFam?
FitFam was created out of a question, out of curiosity, through asking my wife back in 16. So in 2017, I had this theme called momentum, because I needed momentum for my health.
So let me stop you there. What was the situation in 2016 that made her say that you need to work on your health? Will you share that with us?
Honestly, it was a joke, because at that time, dad bod, hashtag dad bod was trending.
Okay.
And I bought into it, and it was the cool thing to do up until a certain point. So I asked her, I said, what should I do? And it probably had to do with some tension at work and what I needed to focus on, and just ask her. She's my champion.
Mm-hmm.
And I asked her what I needed to do, and it was that. So
it's great to have a partner in things like that who respectfully can say, you know, here's an area where we can work together on. So that's awesome.
Oh, it's tough to get the hard truth, whether
yeah.
it's video games too much or mm-hmm. helping with this and learning your love language and continuing to learn it, because it changes. It can change over time.
Yep, absolutely.
But the FitFam thing, well, it started with 3 people, and we were meeting outside at the park early in the morning, and it grew. Then in 2019, I went with Matt Sandifer and Gary Jernigan. We went to California. Prior to us going, I saw on YouTube RFT, which is Raw Functional Training, led by DeRolk. He trains Thor and Thanos, Chris Hemsworth and Josh Brolin. He works with military and first responders.
Wow.
And it's a lot of dynamic movements, crawls, there's sequencing. It's all body weight.
Mm-hmm.
So we went out there. It was 2-day training. It was probably one of the most humbling experiences and hardest things I've ever done. I thought I was in shape, but I went out there and I got my butt handed to me. It was tough. I was in last place pretty much for all of the workouts that we did. But it was fantastic, and it's a beautiful thing. It's a beautiful part of our group right now. We do Wednesdays, 6 a.m., Saturdays, 7 a.m. And the cool thing is that it's diverse. We have all ages. On Saturdays, the parents will bring their kids, and the kids can either play at the park or they can join us for a workout. And it's all levels.
Mm-hmm. That's neat. My brother and my husband join sometimes, and it's tough for me to do the early morning stuff. but my husband is a former military, and so for him, that structure is really helpful. So he's the kind of person who can say, okay, I want to get my health in order. I want to change the way that I eat. And so he will make restrictions for himself. And that works for him because it's order. And I've never been very good at that order or even that structure. Okay, I'm going to wake up super early and I'm going to change, the way that my day goes. I'm trying, but I struggle with that. So if there are other people listening who struggle with that, what would you say to me and those folks?
So if it's in relation to somebody who is the opposite, how do you get on the same page and how do you find that happy medium?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, opposites do attract. And we were talking about this subject this morning, and getting to a certain goal takes a level of respect. And if you break down the word respect, it means to repeat. Means to repeat, and I can't state exactly which language, and then spect is through another's eyes. So getting to that goal is really a matter of respect, or in other words, empathy, and just trying to understand and having that communication. And I don't think anything gets us closer to that goal besides communication.
Sure.
Because if we don't communicate, it festers inside of us, or we can have the tendency to talk about what is hard to someone else, rather than talking to that person who matters most.
Right.
Whether it's a colleague, your partner, or your friend.
Absolutely.
I don't think that's the straight answer, but if you ask for the hard truth, that's the hard truth.
Absolutely. We did work out a deal where he would work out in the morning and then go off to work, and I would take care of our son in the morning, and then we would switch in the evening because evenings are easier for me. I like come alive in the evening and nighttime hours, where he's the opposite. He comes alive in the morning. And so I would work out after work, and he would pick up our son and do the dinners and things. He cooks. It's awesome. The whole works. And so, we found that happy medium, but it's still a struggle because a lot of people want your time at the end of the day. You've got those several things at the end of your work day that people are like, I need this before you go. And, of course, there's dinners, there's soccer practice, there's all sorts of afternoon activities. So, if you're a morning person and if you can do morning workouts and things like that, that's probably the best time to get that uninterrupted, because most of the rest of the world is sleeping and they don't need your time at that point of the day. So do you have any other favorite quotes that you'd like to leave us with? I know you gave us one about, tell me again, we're happy because we whistle. Sing.
We don't sing because we're happy. We're happy because we sing.
Yes. That was it.
My father, growing up in Cheyenne or just at home, he would always say, don't do a half-assed Mickey Mouse job. And he said that over and over. So it made sense, but then it probably wasn't until after 35 that I realized what it meant. And it was all about consistency. And I didn't know that the thing that he said all the time would serve as a North Star.
Sure.
For everything that we do.
Absolutely.
And then it just becomes practice. It becomes gut. It becomes a quick decision every day of should versus want, courage versus fear.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Dads have a funny way of giving you a nugget of wisdom in a real weird sentence, right? Like using Mickey Mouse as a reference. Dads are like that. I love that. That's awesome. So let's recap a little bit. Give us some top three about your work-life balance, how to motivate, and your wellness as we wrap up.
Five F's. Mm-hmm. You don't have to have the five F's, but have some kind of something, and communicate with your wife, your partner, with your friend, because it's going to be hard to get on the same page. There's always going to be something fighting for your attention. So the best thing to do is to plan and then try to stick to that best you can, protect it, nurture it. Mm-hmm. And then if you don't like it, change it. So that's the first thing. It's a combination of finding your own five F's, finding your own life categories, making a plan. If not, I don't know the opposite. The opposite would be
life. Flying by the seat of your pants. Just running.
And it takes time. And it's not mm-hmm. for everybody, but anybody listening to this, you can find it in your own way. There's going to be those days whenever you just don't feel motivated. And for a long time, that would be for me on a Saturday, working all week long and sure. just feeling tired. But then there's some little simple, quick techniques to use that can help out a lot. And one of those is to just breathe. It sounds so funny. And to just take a breath. And I have to remind myself, coming into this, being nervous, gotta remember to breathe.
Absolutely.
Breathe through your nose, fix your face. Just relax the forehead, relax the jaw, fix your posture. There's something Amy Cuddy references called the champion's pose, where when you run a race, hands up in the air. So it's kind of the same thing. And then just practicing all those together to where it becomes a part of you. And then we're handling anything, no matter if it's good or if it's bad.
Sure. So champion's pose is literally standing with your hands in the air like you've accomplished something?
Yeah.
Is that it?
Chest up.
Right.
Accomplish something, but it's not anything stiff. You know, mm-hmm. you do want to have your head to the sky, shoulders relaxed, but doing those kind of things help to stay motivated from a physiology standpoint. Mm-hmm. Because when I can control my body, I can control my breath. When I can control my breath, then I can control my actions.
Absolutely.
Let's see, one more thing. COVID was tough, but one of the things that helped me was to have a theme word. And since 17, I've set one every single year.
Mm-hmm.
With the theme word, it's a slogan or some kind of question is also matched. So last year was abundance, and the slogan was be ready to receive the gift. The reason why it shows abundance, because over time, I've had a lot of limiting thoughts about what I couldn't do.
Mm-hmm.
Whenever I've had people in the community, whether it was a judge or somebody working in leadership, saying, hey, Jonathan, you would be great doing this one day, or you should do this one day. I would shake my head no and say no. But then there came a point where I said, you know what? You're right. I can mm-hmm. do that. You're right.
Sure.
I can make a difference. So I chose that theme word. And last year, when things were tough, I had to remember my theme word, abundance, and was to be ready to receive the gift. So when I didn't feel like doing something, or when I thought something was hard, I would push forward. Or whenever I thought something wasn't for me, I would step into that space. I don't like recognition. It's kind of a weird thing, recognition and award, but being used to that, being comfortable with it. And everybody has their own challenges. So whatever challenge you have, it's kind of neat. This year is going to fly by. You know, have your conversations on the wonderful year of 2021, what we learned. But sure. there's a great opportunity each year to have a theme word and set the stage.
Can you give me an example of some of the other theme words that you've used?
Oh, yes.
Yeah. Or some that other people might benefit from?
Yes. 17 was momentum. And in order to achieve momentum, the slogan was, how is what I know getting in the way of what I don't know?
Okay.
So I had to challenge myself, whether it was running, burpees, or at work, hey, Jonathan, you're lazy at the sushi bar and doing these things and cutting carrots and cream cheese. Okay, well, now what? I'm pretty darn good at it. So that was 17.
Mm-hmm.
18, it was clarity. It was to do more by doing less. You got to be careful what you ask for because you might get it. In 18, I was in the hospital for a couple weeks. We had some loss in the family. There were some things that were huge setbacks. So that was 18. Move on to 19. 19 was more about intention, getting life into order.
Mm-hmm.
The slogan at that time was, if it is to be, it's up to me. So that's whenever I started really focusing on and being committed to the passion planner, 5 F's, learning to connect with people and how to plan life the way that I wanted it to be.
Sure.
And then 2020 was abundance. This year is focus. And the slogan for this year, focus, is nothing is hard, only steps undefined.
Okay.
So I'm focusing this year, quarter by quarter, on something different. That's for me.
Right.
That's for me. It's not for work or anything else but for me. So the first thing was scratching. And my second quarter, I'm still trying to find a voice coach for singing lessons.
Oh,
not that
neat.
I want to sing on stage, but I do want to learn how to better use my voice.
So, like in the shower and stuff.
right. In the shower, in the car.
Your family will appreciate this. I know a lot of people who use a theme word at the beginning of the year as well. And it's something that I was unfamiliar with until a few years ago. And they use it in terms of like a spiritual life. And so they choose, I'm a Christian, they choose based on biblical principles and stuff. And I think that's a really great way to start your year. I know a lot of people do resolutions and then they feel like, what if I don't meet my goals for the year? But having some intentionality about what you're going to stay focused on and how you're going to use that for your year, I think is awesome. I think that's really great. Thank you so much today for giving us all this insight into how to make that work-life balance for real, how to motivate, how to achieve some wellness in our lives as well. I really appreciate your time. I wanted to tell you to thank you for supporting the Hammond Regional Arts Center over the years. We so greatly appreciate it. Any last thoughts that you want to give us before we wrap up?
Well, art is important. I had a conversation with my buddy down the street at the radio station, and you talk to a child, and they're just glaring with excitement and curiosity. But at the same time, it's possible that others can fight to take that away or do it unintentionally. So it's mm-hmm. really important to nurture creativity and curiosity, because without that, if I would have gave in to the distraction and then got to believe that, oh, okay, actually, yeah, that's dumb, then there's no way that I could be where I am today. And I just find it fascinating, creativity and curiosity. And that's one of my favorite things about the restaurant, is because we have a very unique, diverse place with all kinds of people.
Mm-hmm.
You got to protect that, because we're all different. And I still see it. Somebody's really excited about something, and it could be looked at or perceived as weird or
sure.
or something. But what might seem weird to me might be that very thing that keeps a person sane.
Right. And it's perfectly natural to them. Yeah, absolutely. Creativity around here is something we talk about a lot at the Arts Center, of course. But it's something that we're trying to help people understand as part of their everyday life. It's not just part of your hobby, and it's not just part of people who do art for a living. But it's something that infuses and fuels their work life as well. There's some studies out that say that adults should start to play. They should doodle, they should go outside and run around, get on the jungle gym, do whatever it is you consider playing in order to become more creative in your work. And so that release of endorphins, I'm sure, is what it boils down to, is helping people fuel their creativity and become more and more innovative in their work. So this is all really great information. Really, thank you again so much for being here with us today. I'm Melissa Griffin. This has been the Hammond Regional Arts Center podcast. Thanks for joining us, and have a creative day.